All right, nice to have you back with us as we get ready for Giants baseball today. Good to hear John Miller's voice talking about Wrigley Field. It's a warm day in Chicago today. Well, we're joined by Mark Topkin, and he's one of the outstanding baseball writers in the country. He covers the Tampa Bay Rays for the Tampa Bay Times, formerly the St. Pete Times. And looking forward to this conversation with Mark Topkin. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing well, sitting here in Detroit waiting for a ball game tonight with the Rays and the Tigers.
Well, I must say, the Rays remind me a little bit of the Giants and vice versa. But this season, the Rays leading the American League in runs scored. You've covered this team. How many years now have you covered the Rays?
You're going to make me give away my age, Marty. All 24 seasons. I started when I was five, though.
All right, very good. No, it's something to your credit. And I guess the question I want to ask is, and I know the World Series last year was exciting, but this team may be the most exciting of all the Rays teams you've covered. Yes or no?
It's definitely up there. I'll pull a Tony La Russa here and say it's tied for first. But, the 08 team I think will always be special just because that came out of nowhere. I mean, they had never even won 70 games in a season before. The 08 team won the American League East and then made it to the World Series and then lost in the rain and snow of Philadelphia. So that'll always be special. But I think from an overall standpoint, this is the most interesting team. It definitely could be the most talented team. They just actually last night lost Wander Franco, the top rookie, for at least a couple weeks. But, a team that had the top prospect in baseball, it has a potential Hall of Famer, Nelson Cruz, that has innovative strategies every place you look, that has a bullpen that somehow with 13 guys getting saves has been the best in baseball all year. I mean, they just are a fascinating team that just puts pieces together, a true sum of their parts example of how it can work in team building and success on the baseball field.
And they don't waver from the philosophy at all. If it's taking Blake Snell out at a certain point in the game that maybe was the right thing to do, looking at Snell's career in San Diego. But they don't waver at all from the philosophy, do they?
Now, consistency is arguably maybe their most important trait, and that is a broad word that goes with their strategy, it goes with their roster building, it goes with their demeanor. I mean, just the way the coaching staff handle things on a day-to-day basis. They have a way, they get the players to buy in. I've actually got a piece in tomorrow's Tampa Bay Times about that, is that, you take these guys that come from other teams that are used to playing every day and say, you're only going to play 4 days a week, and you got a guy named Brandon Lau who's 33 homers, is in the top seven in the league in homers. He doesn't play every day. Like, they get these guys to buy in. The fact that they're winning obviously helps, but it's a philosophy and a strategy and a model that has worked for them and continues to work.
Boy, Mark Topkin with us. I've been looking forward to this conversation because, look, we're in the West Coast, and just as the East Coast doesn't really get a feel for the Giants, we don't really get a feel for how good the Rays are, because they are going to win the American League East. And, the beasts in the East give in to the Rays. How about that?
It's going to be interesting. And they've got a 9-game lead as we sit here today. They've got a 7-game lead for the best record in the American League. And, injuries have been an issue all year on the pitching side. The Franco thing is going to be a little bit more difficult for them to navigate because he's been such a key part of this. The first couple weeks he struggled. 20-year-old got brought up in late June, and I remember writing something that he was hitting like 180, and people were like, why are you ripping on him? Like, look, you guys are the ones who said he was best prospect in baseball. He's had a couple weeks now, but kind of went back the all-star break kind of regrouped, and since then I think he leads the American League in runs scored. He was hitting around 320. He's got this now 39 game on base streak, so they're gonna miss him. It's gonna be a couple weeks, a hamstring issue that popped up last night. But just overall they find a way. The offense has been amazing for a team that typically is a pitching and defense team. That's kind of their DNA, as Joe Madden used to always say, but the offense has been the best in the majors for the last month or so, and especially on the road, which is also interesting. You certainly would think a team was going to want to and would play better at home, and their pitching is much better at home, but their offense has been really explosive on the road, and they score a lot of runs late. They lead the majors in comeback wins, so they have a lot of things they've done well.
Amazing, and if you ask a baseball fan to give the starting lineup, I'm not sure they can. And it really
is. Here's the funny part, Marty. I'll interrupt you for a second. I couldn't give it to you on some days because they've played 141 games. They've used 138 different lineups.
Yeah, no, believe me. I'm glad to hear about it. Really, Zunino, 29 home runs. He's hitting about 210. Is it Lau, 33 home runs? Doesn't play every day. I can't even tell you what position he plays. Where does he play?
He plays second base, but he also can play right field, and he played first base the other night. That's the other thing. They're all interchangeable parts. And, you know, Yandy Diaz starts at first. He starts at third. He can DH. Nelson Cruz even played first for a game. They had an interleague game at Philadelphia a couple of weeks ago. So they will try anything. They call guys up. Cash will say, well, he's never played this position before. We're going to, you know, try to work with him over the next week, and then that day he'll play. They'll put him in anyway. A guy named Jordan Luplow they acquired from the Indians at the trade deadline. No idea, like, I didn't know who Luplow was, I'll be honest. And you look, do a little digging, and, you know, they give you a little tip on what to look up, and he's got, like, one of the best OPSs against lefty pitchers in the game this year. And he never played first base before. He played third in the minors. He's made five starts at first base and I think maybe two errors. So it's just like, all right, we'll figure this out. We'll put him out there. It'll work. And it does.
Well, it's the Giants. You know, the Giants have emulated what the Rays have done, and they turned, and now, of course, say Andrew Friedman, Farhan in L.A., they've turned the Giants into the Rays. Believe me, when you do a deep dive on the Giants, you're going to find the Rays and say, wow, very similar team. Mark Topkin with us. The rotation, and I heard Kevin Cash on MLB Network a couple of weeks ago. Someone said to him, Kevin, if you had to win one game, who would you start? Assuming he would say, you know, Louis Tiant or Roger Clemens or Koufax or something like that. And he couldn't give an answer as to who he would start. What about that?
Well, you know what? That's not a surprise because they are going to go into the postseason. If we were going to guess right now, I would say their starters, and I use that with some quotes around it, are going to be Shane McClanahan, who's a 24-year-old rookie, Luis Patino, who's a 21-year-old rookie, and Drew Rasmussen, who's a 24 or 25-year-old they got from Milwaukee in trade in May to be a reliever. And then had a couple issues going on with some other guys. They had started going COVID list, and they thought to Rasmussen, you know what, you started before, let's see how this goes. And all he's done is, like, make five starts and allow one run at each one or something. So they don't – and here's the other thing. They're not going to have – I mean, McClanahan might get six or seven innings if he was really going, but I don't think anybody else in this postseason – they might not be a starter who gets a win because I don't think anybody will go more than four or five innings. And they're going to turn it over to this bullpen. They're going to end up – you know, how they set the roster obviously will change each postseason series if they're fortunate enough to advance, but – they're going to have like 12 or 14 reliever candidates that they set these rotations up and set these pitching staffs up and then, you know, pick whom they want based on the opponent. But they've just got this bevy of arms here and guys that do all these different things. And there's still a couple guys that are hurt. They haven't got back yet. Nick Anderson, who was their most impactful reliever last year, just joined the team yesterday. He'll make what would be his season debut, assuming he gets activated here today or tomorrow. And he'd been out all year fighting a little slight tear in the elbow ligament. So they've got all these pieces. They've got to figure out how best to use them, and I think you're going to see a very relief-heavy postseason from the Rays.
Well, the record speaks for itself, the best record in the American League by far, scoring the most runs. So, Mark, what do you worry about if you're the Rays heading into the playoffs? Is there a team you worry about, or is there a part of your team that you worry about?
I think there's probably some internal concern, and not to belabor the point here, but like I said, just because it happened last night with Franco being out now, if that doesn't turn around in time for the postseason. But just the inconsistency of the young pitchers. You know, and all three guys I mentioned have had days where they've looked really good. Rasmussen, you know, pretty much as a starter has been just good. But, you know, McClanahan's had some days where the stuff kind of wavers, the velocity wavers a little bit, and, you know, two out runs have hurt him a little bit. Patino's been pretty erratic. Again, understandable. He's the guy they got from the Padres. He pitched for them last year in the regular season a little bit and in the playoffs as a reliever. But he's been a little inconsistent, you know, great game, bad game, kind of back-to-back, which is always puzzling. So I think that and just the fact that they've, as I mentioned, they've got all these relievers, but they've had so many guys that have had little things pop up during the year. So health of the relievers, inconsistency of the starting pitching. I think the offense will be okay. I mean, they have fattened up those numbers a little bit on some bad pitching. They did go 18-1 against Baltimore, so that certainly explains some of their success and their numbers. But I think their offense will find a way. They'll probably go back to their, you know, 4-3, 5-2 kind of games in the postseason. But I do think if you're a Rays person, your worry would be the inconsistency slash health of some of the pitching.
Mm. How about Nelson Cruz? 11 homers since he's been with the Rays. The Rays are like 30-14 since then. What does he bring to the table? Has he still got it, Nelson Cruz? Because, you know, maybe he didn't have the greatest year in Minnesota before they got him.
Kind of a majestic presence, if that makes sense, Marty, and I think you know what I mean, and just a regal nature about him, the respect that he had when he walked in that clubhouse, especially among some of the younger players, especially the young Dominican players who grew up, you know, they grew up, and Nelson Cruz was one of the guys. I mean, he's, you know, he, Albert Pujols, I mean, obviously David Ortiz has been retired for a few years now, but this generation of young players, that's who they all grew up watching, and now they're teammates with the guy. We've heard a lot, obviously we're not in the clubhouse from a media standpoint yet, but, you know, we've heard a lot about the advice he gives, excuse me, the counseling, talking with players. I think Manny Margot said the other day, he used the phrase, he's an open book to us. Anything you want to talk to him about, he'll talk to you about. And, you know, Cash has told us a few things here and there that, you know, he'll just walk by and hear, you know, Cruz telling somebody about, hey, this pitcher we're facing tonight, you know, this is what you want to look for, or watch out for this from the reliever, and things like that. I think it wasn't at all a coincidence that his locker was placed next to Wander Franco's, a chance to provide him some, you know, counsel and advice. So I think he's all that, but he's also started to hit. He was a little slow the first couple weeks here, and then the last 10 days or so, I think you look it up, you think he has a hit maybe in all but one of the games, and a couple of multi-homer games. He became the oldest player in baseball history to have a 30-homer season when you had the 19 with Minnesota and the 11 with the Rays the other day in Boston. And just really a helpful run producer, lengthen the lineup, give other guys better pitches to hit. I think the stat, and I don't have it updated, but it's 21 of 43 games, I think, since he's been here, they scored eight or more runs. Mm. And they only done that like 19 times in the first 100 games without him. So just a significant impact, not just directly correlated to what he's done, but throughout the rest of the lineup.
Well, it's great to have you on, Mark. I appreciate it. I think our paths are going to cross. Believe me, I think our paths are going to cross as we go through the playoffs here. I really do. So we look forward to having you on again. Great season. You do a great job. It's TBTimes_Rays if you want to follow Mark on Twitter. Mark, thanks so much for being on. Great report.
Sounds good, Marty. Always enjoy it.
Yeah, very good. Okay, we'll have Mark on again. All right, we'll take a break. Scott Harris, general manager of the Giants, will join us next right here on the Sports Leader.